This is Houston and Huber on the new Tide 99.1
and Tide99.1.com.
.7:35 here on the new Tide 99.1 and Tide99.1.com. Joining us this morning, an old familiar face. Been away from him for a while, but he's back stateside. Mike Johnson, two-time All-American here at the University of Alabama. Guard for the Atlanta Falcons. Mike Johnson, what's going on, man?
Nothing, man. It's good to be back in the States and good to talk to you guys again.
Absolutely, brother. Tell our listeners where you've been and where you're going. You've had a world tour, literally.
Yeah, man. Me and a couple buddies that play here with me in Atlanta, Garrett Reynolds and Joe Hawley, we took off overseas to go visit some of the troops and watch the Super Bowl with some of those guys, visited a base in Singapore, and spent about 6 nights on a little island in the Indian Ocean called Diego Garcia, and got a chance to meet some great guys, got a chance to tour some good things. We toured the USS Georgia submarine and a couple other boats down there. Got to meet some good people, man. If you ever get a chance to go overseas and kind of hang out and watch some football or do anything like that with some of those guys, highly recommend it.
What would be the over under on days that you could survive on a submarine?
Actually, you know what? I ran into the biggest guy on the submarine, and he was actually an Alabama fan. I believe he was from Gadsden or something like that. He was actually a huge Alabama. He's about 6'9" and probably about three bills. And,
wow. That is.
He looked like he was struggling. I'm gonna tell you right now.
That is huge.
Yeah, I think he had a Boren crick in his neck, man. He couldn't stand up straight almost the whole time. But those guys are something else, man. I really couldn't believe how long. You know, we talked to some of the guys, and they were able to stay underwater for, you know, they're able to stay under there for 6 months at a time. Some of the guys had been under for 4 or 5 months, and without even seeing sunlight, man. It was pretty impressive.
Hey, Mike, let me ask you, like when you go on a cruise ship, you can almost forget, if the ocean is smooth, you can forget that you're, you know, out on the ocean. When you're
right
under the ocean, did you go under? Were you
no, under? No.
Oh, okay.
We didn't get the chance to go under, but that's actually one of the questions I asked was whether or not it rocked, and evidently it does. They say it does rock underwater. There's some underwater currents and stuff like that that really affect their ability to get a good night's sleep and stuff like that.
I mean, I'm kind of getting claustrophobic. Being under. Ooh, did they say that if there's a panic button, how they deal with panic?
No, they didn't. I think that they were kind of relying on their training to kind of take care of that before it actually happened. But I think one of the most impressive things to me was, I think they had two, maybe three ellipticals on board, and that was their only source of working out. That was the ability to work out. One of the captains actually said he ran sprints down the hallways and just tucked his arms in and ducked his head, and that was the way they got their workout for the day. I couldn't believe how little space they had. They had a couple of ellipticals tacked away under some staircases.
Oh man!
Thank God for men and women who will serve our country. Now I definitely respect the guys who have to go underwater in the sub. I couldn't do it. No. Thank God for those who do.
You mentioned
that. Oh my God! Yeah,
Mike, you mentioned that you were at an island there in the Indian Ocean. Diego Garcia, you spent several days there. You know, you probably get claustrophobic just living on an island. I looked at how large it was. I mean, this thing is microscopic.
Yeah, there's not a lot going on around there, man. It's definitely small. I think at the widest point, it might be a quarter mile wide, and it's a circle, but there's one road that goes around the whole thing, and it goes for some while. But it was an awesome experience, man. We really got to meet a lot of cool people. We got to hang out with some of the British guys that actually run it, and hang out with some of the sailors that were in town. And, you know, it's just incredible, man. It made me feel very safe about what our military is doing. They had so much firepower down there just on standby, just waiting for something to happen. And, you know, it's kind of the quickest route up to the Gulf or wherever they need to go. It was just an incredible experience for us, man. We got to see a lot of what those guys are doing and kind of behind the scenes, and not so much you know, not really in action right now, but they're the guys just kind of waiting behind the scenes, just waiting for something to go down and being on standby and trying to stay on their P's and Q's just in case something does hit the fan.
Mike, where did you actually watch the Super Bowl? And I know that the time change was going to be a little bit awkward, and, man, I hope you didn't stay up real late to watch that.
Well, we either had to stay up real late or we had to get up real early. So I think we woke up at 4 o'clock a.m. to watch Super Bowl over there with those guys. And we started to stay up for the night. You know how we are. We started to stay up for the night, but we decided to get an early bedtime. And actually, man, I felt bad because, you know, I'm watching Atlanta with all this snowstorm stuff going on. And we actually left our Super Bowl viewing party, you know, at the end of the fourth quarter and headed out to go deep sea fishing for a few hours and ended up getting sunburned, getting back to the room and still seeing reports of Atlanta under ice warnings and people walking home. And so, you know, we were feeling pretty blessed, and waking up early or not, we definitely had a good day that day.
Visiting with two-time All-American guard for the Atlanta Falcons, Mike Johnson. Mike, a lot of news breaking here within the last 48 hours. Of course, in the forefront is Michael Sam, set to possibly be the first openly gay NFL player, a guy that's in an NFL locker room. You know, how do you feel like how do you feel this would take in that setting?
Well, you know, there's so many different angles to kind of work on with that. It's definitely going to be new for some people, but, you know, me personally, it doesn't bother me. You know, we've dealt with a lot of guys. I think the biggest thing you're looking for is, you know, his sexual preference, you know, above all else. Is it going to be a distraction to other players? I think is the only thing you worry about. You're not worried about the guy being in the locker room and such like that, because you know, once the guy goes out and starts making plays, he's just going to be another teammate, and he's going to be a guy you root for and a guy you wish nothing but the best. And I think that most guys in the NFL are just concerned with the amount of media attention and stuff like that that he's going to bring to their city. I don't think guys want a lot of things, you know, for especially from a rookie, taken away from team goals and team accomplishments. They don't want to see a guy come in and, you know, kind of be the lightning rod, if you will, on the team, you know, as a rookie. So I think that's going to be the biggest concern, and it would be for me. But in terms of just day-to-day football life, I don't see it being a problem. I think that, you know, the team we have here in Atlanta would accept him with open arms, and I think that would be the majority of most NFL teams right now.
Mike, do you think this will affect his overall draft status?
You know, I would want to say no, but it seems like in this day and age, with the amount of social media and the amount of rumors, you know, that get out about some of these prospects, it seems like all it takes is one little flutter of information, and it, you know, it drowns a guy in the draft, and sometimes it gets out of hand, and you just hope that's not the situation with him. I've heard, you know, great things about the guy. He's obviously a good player. You know, you hope that he gets picked up at some point in the draft and is able to do good things for an NFL team. But I would hope that it wouldn't affect somebody's decision that high up. But, you know, you never know what some of those guys are thinking in the front offices. And I know that, you know, we have some high-character guys in our front office, and guys that, very, you know, value, you know, talented football players above all else. But, you know, some of those guys might be like that in some other cities, and you just have to, you know, you just have to take that with a grain of salt and hope the guy lands in a city that's good for him.
Yeah, Mike, when you say, you know, you say it wouldn't be that big a problem, and you would hope that with the with your teammates, but do you recognize that this is different, and therefore there would be, even if guys accept, it's still a growing pain and process there. And can a team work through that without it becoming a distraction, just like they would any other guy that came in that had an issue?
I don't think there's any question. And that kind of goes back to my thing about, you know, being a media kind of lightning rod, if you will, or, you know, being the guy that kind of gets attacked by 50 media members every day after practice. It's definitely going to be different. It's going to be an adjustment for everybody, because here you have a guy that doesn't have background issues. You don't have to worry about the arrest or whether or not he can make a full turnaround on his career, whether he can salvage a career after, you know, arrest or, you know, stuff like that. This is a guy with a good background. This is a guy that, you know, is obviously a good football player. And you would hope that, you know, it wouldn't be just the football players, but the media and everybody else around the city that are able to accept him. It's definitely going to be different, but like I said, In a healthy locker room, I don't think that's what everybody focuses on. I think you go out there and compete, and you see the guy making plays, and once you see a guy that can help out your football team in a great way, you know, that can rush a passer and make plays on the defensive side of the ball, then I think you'll see a lot of guys just start to accept him in those terms and on his terms, and you know, maybe start to gain some respect in and around the locker room, just like any other rookie would have to do.
Mike, when you look at this, let me ask you this question, kind of putting you in the GM spot. But doesn't a GM potentially not draft this guy because of the consequences of having to cut him should he not pan out in the media that follows that?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a cause for concern if you're in a GM seat to me. And, you know, it's been that way with just about everybody. It's hard for a lot of people to have the ability to have an opinion on this matter, because it seems like anybody who has an opinion different than the mainstream is getting ridiculed, and you would hate to be that guy in the GM seat that, you know, has false accusations thrown at him. But it's going to take a good place for him to be able to play. And like I said, you know, even if he does fall some rounds or back up in the draft a little bit, it might even be a good thing for him, because he might end up going to a spot that really, you know, kind of values his ability in a different way than other teams might if they're letting him fall. And so you just kind of hope the guy lands in the right place. You know, those GMs obviously have to watch out what's best for them and watch out what's best for their teams. But at the same time, you know, those GMs are charged with bringing in game-changing playmakers. And I definitely think that he has the ability to be one of those, and we'll see how it turns out.
Mike, got about 45 seconds here. One last question, visiting with two-time All-American Mike Johnson. How would you feel if the NFL decides, hey, listen, there's a market out here that we can reach the lesbian and gay community through Michael Sam? Do you see the NFL maybe starting to parlay some marketing around that group of fans?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I think it already started to happen last year when you had the NBA player Jason Collins come out. You know, the NFL kind of reached out through the PA and started selling, you know, T-shirts and stuff like that, that you had the rainbow emblem and stuff like that. The PA kind of wanted to get, you know, our views on things like that. It was different for a lot of guys because, you know, it's a lot of guys, hey, you know, we want the NFL logo to go with, you know, charity and stuff like that. And, you know, it's difficult to get the shield on anything that you're passionate about. And for them to kind of throw it around, you know, as kind of a PR stunt, we felt like, was difficult. But, yeah, it's definitely going to the NFL is already moving in that direction, in my opinion.
Two-time All-American Mike Johnson joins us. Well, you were joining us there once a week till you got on your world tour, but we'll have you back in a regular spot, man. Mike, always appreciate you joining us here on Tide 99.1.
All right. Thanks, guys. Enjoyed it.
Have a good one. And you heard it. They've already decided. It's already been in the works for the NFL.
Money.
To target the lesbian and gay community.
Money.
Money.
If Michael Sams was a top draft pick, there wouldn't even be a conversation about GMs.
7:48, we'll take a break.
Houston and Huber on the new Tide 99.1 and Tide 99.1.com.